From our tower to your radio, this is Immaculate Heart Radio, KWG Stockton. Mother of Christ, pray for us. Mother of Divine Grace, pray for us.
He did throughout his life. And, you know, speaking of Walk for Life, it is coming up on the 26th, a week from this Saturday, in the city of St. Francis. So all kinds of events happening at the Civic Center in San Francisco. And if you can make it down, that would be great. If you can't make it down, you can follow the events on the radio, follow the events. You know, it's interesting. The Chronicle has started to cover this walk, which is a good thing. If you don't want to take the bus, you can drive down to the city, enjoy a day in the city. And it's actually a really a wonderful family event. You get to march right down Market Street. You get to see the beautiful Civic Center Plaza. So it's a lot of great stuff happening in San Francisco on the 26th. And the day before, on the 25th, Pastor Walter Hoy, our good friend from Oakland, has his annual Stand Up for Life in Oakland events on Friday the 25th. 10 a.m., a rally and walk beginning at Oakland City Hall, which is at 1 Frank Ogawa Plaza in Oakland. 12:30 p.m., the Conversations for Life luncheon at St. Margaret Mary's Parish, which is at the parish hall there at 1219 Excelsior in Oakland. And then at 7 p.m. on the evening, Friday the 25th, a week from this Friday, the Prayer for Life Vigil Memorial Rose Service at the Rehoboth Christian Fellowship at 710 Haight Avenue in Alameda. So Pastor Walter Hoy has all kinds of great events happening on Friday the 25th in the great city of Oakland. Well, we're pleased and honored, speaking of pro-life activities, to have the head of Priests for Life, Father Frank Pavone, join us today from New York. Father Pavone, always good to have you. Good day to you.
Well, good day to you too, Bob. It's great to be with you as usual.
Yeah, so much happening with Priests for Life, but I noticed online a week or so ago a great victory you have had so far in your efforts to combat the HHS mandate.
It was really gratifying because, you know, we were one of the first groups to launch a lawsuit against this mandate, and therefore, as court timetables go, we're in the we're farthest ahead, generally speaking. Now, what happened in our case was that the health insurance plan that we have for our employees gets renewed on the 1st of January mm-hmm. each year. So for us, now, believe it or not, the administration does not consider us religious enough for the exemption, the one-year exemption. So Priests for Life not being religious enough, that tells you what the how restricted this administration's view of what religious means is. So we were going to be penalized as of January 1st, and we had already made it clear that we would defy the mandate. So the judge in our case said to the Obama administration, look, are you intending to enforce this against Priests for Life? Are you intending to penalize them? And he made it clear that if they said yes, he was going to put an injunction on this mandate in our case. So the lawyers entered into discussion, and the administration ended up agreeing not to enforce it against us. It was what's called a stipulation,
right,
in the law that we would basically have a stay when in regard to this mandate for the time being. Now this is a tremendous step forward, and because although the effects of it apply just to us, the arguments being made, of course, apply across the board to the other cases as well.
Sure. Now this so what was agreed to was a stipulation that they will not enforce it for a certain period of time pending something, or is it a stipulation that you're just free and clear?
Well, it's for a period of time, but how long that time will be depends on what other steps the administration intends to take. Now, they've been saying, oh, they're going to come out with some new set of, you know, amended rules for these religious organizations. Well, that remains to be seen whether they do that or what they do. We don't expect them to do anything, that is the administration, that's going to, and we don't expect any modifications they make to be satisfactory,
uh-huh.
because the only way to deal with this at this point is to get rid of the mandate altogether, because in and of itself, It is unjust. It is unconstitutional. So what we expect is that they'll come out with some kind of amended version, and our case will just continue to move forward as it is now to say that no, what we're asking for is that this thing totally be voided.
Yeah, and it's interesting suit brought by the Archdiocese of New York, the judge basically took that argument that, well, we're going to amend these at some point anyway, and said the Constitution doesn't say anything about promising to change a bad law down the road.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And interestingly, by the way, of course, we're here in New York, and so the Archdiocese lawsuit and ours are in the same court,
mm-hmm.
Although in a different division. And those two judges know each other, and what they did in their case was simply to let the case move forward without... See, the Obama administration has been consistently trying to get all these cases dismissed
right.
when it comes to the religious organizations. And for the Archdiocese, they say, no, it's not going to be dismissed, which, of course, they did the same in our case as well. So we're cautiously optimistic that the courts really do remain the way to deal with this mandate situation.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, I mean, clearly you're a religious organization. Clearly, whether the government wants to recognize it or not, clearly the Archdiocese of New York and Catholic Charities and the other groups that brought suit are religious organizations. But then we have the much more difficult when you have cases like Hobby Lobby, Tom Monahan bringing a lawsuit
mm-hmm.
on behalf of Domino Farms. And
mm-hmm.
They clearly are not religious organizations, but they are religious people. And that First Amendment guaranteeing religious freedom talks about individuals being, you know, it doesn't say you have to be a religious organization to enjoy religious freedom.
Exactly. The religious freedom that we have is a right that we have, first of all, rooted in our human dignity,
right.
the aspect of the human person where he or she is free to seek God, seek the truth, and then adhere to it. And secondly, it's an American right. So we have it in our Constitution, you know, whether... You know, we want to be very religious or not, or talk about it or not. Nevertheless, it's still a right for each and every person. Now, in some ways, these other cases by secular corporations, the fact that they are not overtly religious groups has in some ways helped them in the sense that it has taken away from the administration the argument that, well, you know, the religious groups, we're coming out with some new norms and we're giving them extra time. It's taken that whole argument away
mm-hmm.
where they've been able to say to the court, well, they're not being harmed right now,
and
so they shouldn't be introducing this suit. And that's why we've seen some victories in those cases of secular corporations and businesses.
Now, you said that, January 1 was kind of D-Day for you. What were your options had the court not ruled in your favor?
Well, we would have had to incur fines, and then we would have said to the government, sorry, we're not going to pay the fines because
mm-hmm.
we're not doing anything wrong. There's not too many other options. You know, we could say, well, we're not going to offer health insurance anymore to our employees.
Which you hate to do.
But you have to do that.
Sure.
This is part of the injustice of this whole thing is that they really give the organizations and the employers no other option except to outright disobey and deal with the consequences. But, of course, as we know from the history of social reform, that kind of resistance is ultimately what leads to change.
Absolutely. And these are not small fines, slap your wrist fines. They're very onerous.
Well, for us, our attorneys estimated that it would be for us about $2 million a year.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's a lot of fines.
My goodness, and I think Hobby Lobby was estimating $1 million a day.
Yes, exactly, exactly. Yeah, you get into these bigger companies, and it goes into the millions pretty fast.
Well, so that's good news so far, and
yes.
we will continue our prayers there. Let's talk about what you're in the business of, which is saving lives.
Yes.
This is... we're 6 days away now from the 40th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, and as much as I don't like that word anniversary because we think of celebrating, I know there is going to be commemorations, celebrations, almost like it was the Emancipation Proclamation this day 40 years ago. It seems to me this is a time for all of us to get out from under the desk and really stand up and be counted.
It is. It's a momentous moment in the history both of our nation and of the pro-life movement. 40, of course, is also a great biblical significance,
yes,
too.
Yes, it is.
And so might God be doing something in the spiritual realm very significant as we enter into the 41st year? I think so. I've been seeing, you know, the pro-life movement mature spiritually in many ways. More people get activated. But this is a moment when the media will be paying a little more attention to this issue. The movement itself can reflect on, you know, where we've been, where we're going. So we're going to help that process along. We've got a number of special things happening. Actually, starting tonight, there's going to be a, tomorrow night, Thursday the 17th, a webcast, a national webcast that we're doing. What we're going to do is have a number of pro-life leaders join me in talking about what you just said, that this is 40 years, it's time really to reawaken our efforts, redouble those efforts. We're going to talk about some upcoming events in the coming week, and then also in some projects for the coming year. So if people want to tune into this, they can join by phone or by internet. They can simply go to a special website that we've set up for the 40th commemoration of Roe, and it's roevwade40.com. So roevwade40.com, and they'll be able to do a couple of things. They'll be able to sign up for tomorrow night's event, which will be from 9 to 10 Eastern, so obviously 6 to 7 Pacific time. And then they will be able to see what some of the major groups are doing in 2013 as a sort of a, almost like a relaunching of the pro-life effort now after 40 years.
Very good. And the no period after V?
That's right.
Just roevwade.com.
And
roevwade40.com. Right. Very good. Very good. Now, there are a couple of huge rallies, the March for Life, which has been around almost as long as Roe v. Wade itself, then here on that'll be on Friday, the 25th, and here in San Francisco on in Northern California on the 26th in the afternoon. Are you going to make either or both of those?
Well, now, you know, every year I have gone to both. However, this year, sadly, I won't be able to come out to the West Coast because the day after the March for Life in Washington, which of course I'll be attending, is the Students for Life conference.
Yes.
And this year they've they're giving to me their annual award, Defender of Life Award.
Very good.
So I'm very happy about that. But I'll be addressing the students that day. So to all my friends there who will be at the Walk for Life, I'll be sorry to miss it. However, Kevin Burke, who is one of our full-time Priest for Life Associates, will be there speaking and giving my greetings, and Georgette Forney, of course, with whom we work on the Silent No More campaign. They'll all be there as usual, together with the men and women who will give their testimonies. That's always a very moving part of the whole thing.
Absolutely, it is, and we'll that takes place in the morning prior to the rally, and it's just, I remember we love to see. I remember last year we were doing a live broadcast from the Walk for Life in San Francisco prior to the rally, and your Silent No More rally kept coming over on our air because there was such enthusiasm for it.
Yes.
I finally looked at my co-host and said, you know, we should just take the mic over there and let them take over.
Yeah, there's an awful lot of energy and enthusiasm, and of course they'll do the same thing in D.C. the day before, where they actually, the difference is they do the testimonies after the march, but they go on for like 3 hours there in front of the Supreme Court steps, and very, very beautiful. Except, you know, we envy your weather out there.
I mean,
we're going to stand in the bitter cold.
it is going to be cold, and San Francisco tends to be a little bit more moderate than it does back there. Well, we will certainly miss you here, Father Pavone. What is going to change this debate? What, you know, I sense the momentum is coming our way. Is there something we're missing?
You know, what changes this ultimately is experience. People are individually and also as a society coming to learn one thing, that abortion is a dead end, literally and figuratively. And this ultimately is how we're going to have to be brought to our senses. Certainly the men and women that we're just talking about who've been through the experience can say, look, this didn't solve my problems. It created more problems. And what has to happen is that people connect the dots between the problems they know they have and the reality of the abortion that they have either been through themselves or that they suffer from because it's so much a part of our cultural environment. This is, I think, putting it in a nutshell, what happens, because all the educational efforts, the counseling, even the legislative and political battles, the legal battles, you look at the substance of all those things, and it's one or another variation on this theme that, mm-hmm. look, abortion hasn't helped, it has hurt. And here's the evidence, whether the evidence is surveys, statistics, testimonies, arguments, or whatever. So I think that in that sense, time is on our side. The more time goes by, you know, that's been 40 years, so we've had close to 53 million abortions, and that means more and more experience of the dead end. Mm-hmm. And then eventually, sooner or later, we come to our senses about it.
You know, you say time is on our side, and speaking of time, Time magazine, even Time recognizes that the momentum has shifted our way.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
how they say, you know, the pro-abortion folks have been losing ever since.
Yep.
You know, we see this. We see this in even among the workers. You know, one of the things I do a lot in my ministry is minister to these former workers of the abortion industry. And, mm-hmm. You know, they knew it while they were in it, that it was they were on the wrong side of this whole debate.
Father, it is great to talk to you. And tomorrow night, RoeVWade40.com to check out the live webcast about all the events that are planned and all the initiatives that are planned for the next year. Always a pleasure. Congratulations on the award. And we'll miss you out here in San Francisco, but it's certainly a well-deserved award.
Thank you so much. It's always great to be with you, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
God bless. That's,
take care.
That's Father Frank Pavone from... the head and founder of Priests for Life, and boy, what a stalwart he has been in really holding people's feet to the fire and feet to the flames, and letting everybody know what this really, really is about. So again, go to RoeVWade40.com to learn about all the events that will be taking place. Well, a couple days from Friday, when Bob Dolan, who's Bob Dolan? He's the brother, the younger brother of Archbishop Timothy Dolan of the Cardinal Dolan. When I interviewed him a couple of times, he was Archbishop. He has since become a cardinal, probably because I interviewed him. And his brother will be here to speak to the Sacramento Catholic Forum on Friday, this Friday, the 18th. All begins 11:30 a.m. with registration at the Red Lion at the Woodlake, 500 Leisure Lane here in Sacramento, formerly known as the Radisson. A great lunch and then a great speaker. He'll talk. He's been a radio talk show host, a newspaper columnist, now an author and speaker, inspired by his love for his brother and his faith. He has some great life experiences. He's author of a couple of great books, Life Lessons from My Life with My Brother, and also his new book, Waking Patrick, where he, you know, when we interviewed him last week, Bob Dolan had a lot of interesting things to talk about, but one that really struck me, he says, you know, I didn't pray the right way for a long time, and I learned how to pray the right way. And you figure with a brother as a cardinal, maybe you can figure out how to pray the right way, but I think that would be valuable for all of us to hear what Bob Dolan has to say about prayer. And, you know, Gabe, the thing that I was really struck with him, he's just such a delightful guy. He's good humor and fun and just somebody that's a very, very interesting guy. And people are in for a real treat. You're not going to, you know, they always have great speakers at the Sacramento Catholic Forum, but this is kind of, this is the A-team coming here. And,
yeah.
It's really, he's going to have a lot to say.
Kept making me laugh during the interview when he kept calling him Tim. Because this is, you know, his brother. Oh, yeah. That's what he, you know, calls him Tim, because this is his brother. And then he kept correcting himself because he realized he was in a public forum on the radio.
Yeah, I'm not sure, you know. I mean, when they all get together for Thanksgiving dinner, is he say Your Eminence? Or who offers grace before dinner?
Yeah, you think everyone just sort of looks over at him, go for it.
It is interesting to hear him. I guess he can still call him Tim. He can probably call him Timmy if he wants to.
Yeah, and his
story. I'm not sure.
I hope he tells the story, if anyone missed it, of giving confession to his brother before the night of his wedding. That was funny.
He talked about how he was about to get married, and his brother said, Cardinal Dolan, then the Archbishop of Milwaukee at the time.
Tim.
He said, it's very traditional for the groom and the bride to have confession.
Which right away I would have thought was a setup. If I was his brother, I would have thought, there's no way, you're messing with me.
All he said was, I'm still doing penance. so it was very.
You got to think that they must have a great relationship to be able to do that. I mean, I know there's the sacred side of it, but just to think of the two brothers and giving confession to your brother, they got to show what a great relationship they must have.
Yeah, absolutely. So he's going to be a great speaker. Sac Catholic Forum this Friday, 11:30. You can just walk in. You don't have to sign up. Just walk in. 11:30 a.m. Sign up at the it's been the Woodlake, it's been the Radisson, it's now the Red Lion this Friday, and then lunch begins at noon, and it's always a great lunch. Well, we're pleased to welcome in our good friend Kathleen DeSantis. Kathleen, good morning. Good to have you with us.
Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Bob.
Oh, we got Mike with us too.
How about that?
I've got this voice recognition software here. And it says, your picture popped up in everything.
Wow.
Is it the same one that's in the post office?
The same one that's in the post office. Same picture. Yeah.
Awesome. Sometimes it's on milk cartons.
Yeah. Well, it's good to have both of you with us. We are moving ever closer to the Walk for Life West Coast. We're just,
ten short days.
Yeah.
Remember when this started? Back in August, we're thinking, we have all this time.
Yeah. And we just got a message here from Los Banos down the valley, St. Joseph's Parish, 1625 Center Avenue. They will have a bus leaving from 9 to 9:15 a.m. Lots of seats available.
Awesome.
Cost is $23. Contact Rhonda Borelli at 209-826-3667 or R. Borelli, B-O-R-E-L-L-I. Sounds Irish to me. or Rhonda Borelli at CatholicExchange.com. So awesome. Good for Rhonda and good for all the people at St. Joseph's Parish in Los Banos.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. We have good news, too, from our St. Stephen's bus. We're completely full. We are starting to do a wait list. We started doing that yesterday.
It's good news. It's bad news if you're not on the bus, though.
Well, that's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. It's been full and then not full and then full again. So we're praying that that's where it stays at. But
what's the Latin word for bus?
That's
full bus.
Full bus. That's right. That's right. Because we only speak Latin on the same day.
That's right. I'll have to ask. My wife took 4 years of Latin, and so I'll have to ask her.
That's true. Well, we do have. We've started talking to a couple of the bus captains, mm-hmm. and some of their buses are full. However, they are talking with other people right at the moment. To see if they can help, get on other people's buses. And before the end of the day, we'll send an updated list to you.
Oh, very good.
And as you know, David Coit was doing this for, the last 4 or 5 years.
Right.
And with his passing, there's been nobody to do it. So Mike and I are back at the point where we started at.
Yep. Yeah, I was going to say, he took over for some pretty talented people.
He just took that and ran with it, and we were so blessed have him involved. As you said, he would answer the phone any time of day or night, and you got David, so we have some big shoes to fill here, and let's try to help out with the last couple of days so that everybody who wants to get on a bus can make it down there.
Right. Now, I got an email from Paula Short at St. Rose of Lima in Roseville, and she said they still have some availability. That's a couple days ago, so I'm not sure if they still do, but you can call Paula at 916-532-8813 in the Roseville area.
Right, right. I did talk to a couple of captains last night. I believe St. Philomene's might be full, but you still might give them a call. They're just trying to confirm that today. And you can call Maria Martin at 916-213-2647 or Mike Miller at 978-9811.
Very good.
I believe Doug Crumley, at St. Mel's, might have some spots. And the last number that I had for him was 916-638-4600.
And if you know, even if you don't need a bus, it's always good to talk to Doug Crumley.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it's just,
especially,
I mean,
if you have a couple of nickels that you would like him to help you
with. Yeah, exactly.
Let me see. St. John Vianney in Rancho Cordova, I believe they are full. Mm-hmm. But you might want to check with Joe and Linda Gallipo, and they're at 916-638-1316. And I was going to say, if anybody needs some additional information, I know that you always will have updated information there. And as I said, we'll try to do that for the end of the day.
Very good.
And people can go on the website as well at West Coast. I'm sorry, Walk for Life West Coast. We just tried to go on, and they're doing some maintenance on it. So they said
the next hour.
Yeah, I'd give them about an hour.
Are they changing a tire or something?
I don't know.
That fifth wheel.
Now, through the miracle of Google, Gabe has just got the Latin translation for me of bus. And you don't want to know what it is?
Yes.
Bus. And all I can think is that back in the days when they were actually speaking Latin, they didn't have buses.
Might be.
That's got to be it.
Very well be. I'll have to check with Father McNeil.
I don't remember seeing in the Bible Jesus talking. Of course, he wasn't speaking Latin, but I don't remember him talking about. Well, I hopped a bus.
Well, maybe they had skateboards with bungee cords attached to the chariots.
I think I was expecting to see a bus, and the Latin translation was donkey or something.
Yeah. You know? You never know. We do listen to you at 11 o'clock, but I do miss having that 9 o'clock time frame sometimes, because when we do request bus captains to call in and give them their information, they're usually hearing that at that time and can call right away. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that whoever is listening today, whichever of the captains who've not called in or sent you their information, that they will go ahead and do that, so you'll have that available.
That would be great. And you can also email us, which is radio@diocese-sacramento.org, and we'll get all of those emails. And so anybody listening today or even tonight at between 9 and 10 p.m. when we do the repeat broadcast, radio@diocese-sacramento.org, if you have any openings on your buses, let us know so we can immediately get that out on the air.
Yes, that's absolutely true. So are you driving, or are you going to be on a bus?
I'm going to drive.
Okay. I know you've tried it a couple of different ways.
Yes, I have. And I stopped doing the bus when my young ones got old enough to come with us.
Yes.
And we've sort of made it a family trip every year now.
It is.
And
that's fun if you can spend the day or go the night before or stay afterwards.
Yeah, and you know, a number of hotels, if you can go the night before, a number of hotels in San Francisco offer special rates for Walk for Life. In fact, I remember if it was last year or 2 years ago, they were Walk for Life. Oh, yeah, and they were just so friendly and so helpful. And, It was a little different than what people experienced on the first Walk for Life.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's
so true. It was very nice.
I would like to hope it's a change of heart, and that's what I'm going to believe.
Well, it is a change of heart, and you know, for a while there was this hostility in San Francisco, not in a anything that was dangerous or anything, but there was just this hostility. The Board of Supervisors telling us don't come, and you're not welcome here, and that kind of thing. To the point where, you know, now whoever was answering the phone at the Holiday Inn Fisherman's Wharf was probably pro-life. You know, I mean, I don't think they let him talk about that, but he was very kind, very helpful, very
good.
Accommodating.
Good.
People in the restaurants, the police, just everybody. It was. I noticed the newspaper came out and was much, I'd say, more reasonable in their coverage.
Yeah.
KGO was out there. It just the respect for it.
Yes.
Like, we're not going away, and you've seen us do this now for 7 or 8 years,
yep.
And you realize we're good people.
That's right. That's right. It's just amazing to me that it's the ninth year already. That
it really is.
Because
none of us have gotten any older.
And, not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. And the walks are so much easier now, too.
They are. Yeah, they are. Every year I say, well, if I can just do the walk for life, I guess I haven't gotten any older.
We're not doing that hill at the fort anymore, which was just almost like a Calvary.
Well, I had the added burden, if you want to call it that.
Yes.
It was actually a joy and an honor, but we were broadcasting during the walk. We don't do that anymore.
Stationary at the Civic Center,
we're stationary, and then we come on early and interview guests and things like that, and then... we turn it over to the rally itself, and everybody listens to the rally.
Weren't you pushing a baby carriage?
A baby carriage,
yeah.
And trying to talk. Fortunately, I don't chew gum, and going uphill.
Yes.
And talking.
You were doing a fantastic job too. I couldn't believe that's what was all happening.
It was quite a challenge.
It didn't sound like you were like out of breath or anything.
I felt like Saint Christopher carrying the Christ child.
Heavier and heavier.
When is this hill going to end? Does this hill realize we're on live radio and I'm huffing and puffing?
Well, it all worked out well.
It all did, but boy, I'll tell you, it was a while till you saw that Marina Green.
Oh, I know.
And I like the Market Street much better.
That's true. We do want to, you know, make sure that anybody who is pushing a carriage or on a walker or using a cane wants to be very aware. We're walking over. Is that the grate for the BART that we're walking over to? Because, you know, you do have that to kind of watch out for. So that's a little bit of a challenge.
You know, the thing that I found interesting as I walked from the hotel last year to Civic Center Plaza for the rally and the broadcast, I believe it's a UN plaza or something that I walked right through.
Okay.
And there were all kinds of sayings etched in stone or something about human dignity and human rights. And there were some just perfect sayings that, I mean, they weren't designed for pro-life specifically, but boy, they fit.
They did. That's true. Well, I'm hoping to hear from bus captains today and tomorrow and to update that information. And, of course, we know about David's Rosary this evening at St. Rose of Lima and his funeral tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the same location.
Yes, the Rosary's tonight at 8 p.m.
Yes.
On Vine Street there in Roseville, and then Holy Mass tomorrow at 10 a.m.
So I'm sure we're going to be seeing many familiar faces, at least from the bus captain's group there. He's much loved and much missed, and our bus is walking in honor of David this year.
Yeah, I think we all are going to carry David in our hearts.
I think so, too. We'll have an extra champion with us this year.
Indeed we will.
That's true.
Kathy and Mike, always a pleasure to talk to you guys, and we'll look forward to anything you hear. Shoot us an email or give us a phone call, and we'll get it on the air right away. And people, you can email us directly as well, radio@diocese-sacramento.org. We really want to know. And even if you're somebody looking for a bus, send us an email, and we'll see what we can do.
Thank you, and thank you again, Bob, for you and Gabe for always allowing us to come on and get the information out to people.
It's all Gabe. He's in charge. He's the boy. He's bigger than I am.
I can't bribe him with cookies anymore. He's eating healthy.
Well, great to talk to the both of you, and we'll see you again soon.
God bless to both of you.
God bless you too, Kathy and Mike DeSantis. And they were bus captains for so long and continue, obviously, to be very involved in it as well. Well, here at the Bishop's Hour, we need to tell you about Christ the King, which has served Northern California for over 60 years. Bishop Soto has referred to it as the jewel of the diocese. They offer parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, a variety of other programs. You want to learn more about it, go to passionist.org/Christ the King or give them a call. They are at 916-725-4720. Also, we're grateful for the generous underwriting of the program by the Catholic Counseling Agency, whose mission is to facilitate psychological and emotional well-being in the faith community by providing clinically appropriate and effective counseling and case management services. They can work with you on marriage and family therapy, including expertise in such areas as addiction, grief, trauma, and life transitions. They work with kids and adults. They have offices in Midtown, Sacramento, and Roseville. Their number is 916-792-9797 or online at admin@catholiccounselingagency.com. Well, for the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. The Mercy Foundation forges enduring connections between them, empowering the community to make a difference by giving. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. Your support funds life-changing ministries such as Mercy Housing California, which offers affordable, low-income housing to people in need at multifamily, senior, and special needs properties. 100% of your contribution supports the Sisters of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. For more information, you can call them at 916-851-2700 or visit supportmercyfoundation.org. Well, the Cabral Agency, Knights of Columbus Insurance, has been keeping Father McGivney's promise alive by providing peace of mind to Catholic families. You can call Todd Cabral. Todd's at 916-997-9999 or visit cabralagency.com. We've had it's been one of the pleasures here at the Bishop's Hour is getting to know Todd Cabral and all he has done for the faith and for people of faith. Or you can visit cabralagency.com, C-A-B-R-A-L, the Knights of Columbus Insurance, the Cabral Agency, your shield for life at 916-997-9999. Well, the beautiful Knights of Columbus Columbian Retirement Home in Marysville is a garden-style building designed as a luxury hotel with the warmth of your own home. Truly a home for Brother Knights by Brother Knights, this welcoming home is just across the street from Marysville's historic St. Joseph's Catholic Church, very near Knights Council 1869. For beauty, warmth, quiet, and convenience, plus a wonderful meal plan, contact the Columbian there at 530-743-7542 or by email at kofccenter@comcast.net. We'll take a quick break for our Saint of the Day. Back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this.
Who am I? As a priest, archbishop, and finally a cardinal, I often preached about the sacredness of human life. But I think the most powerful statement I ever made about the gift of life was in my public struggle with pancreatic cancer. As the end came closer, I saw the wonder of human life, but I also saw death not as an enemy, but as a friend. I was born in Columbia, South Carolina in 1928, the son of poor Italian immigrants. When I began thinking about what I would do with my life, I decided on a career in medicine, until I realized that God was calling me to a different kind of service. I entered the seminary and was ordained a priest in 1952. At age 38, I became the youngest bishop in the United States. Then in quick order, General Secretary to the American Bishops' Conference, Archbishop of Cincinnati, and President of the U.S. Bishops. In 1982, I was installed as Archbishop of Chicago and then made a Cardinal of the Church. Meanwhile, I spearheaded the writing of The Challenge of Peace, a pastoral letter of the American Bishops. The letter catapulted me and the U.S. bishops as a whole into the spotlight for speaking out so strongly against nuclear war. So did a speech I gave calling for a consistent ethic of life. I challenged Catholics to oppose not only abortion, but euthanasia and capital punishment as well, and to come to the aid of the poor and helpless. All these activities, though important, weren't ideal for my prayer life. Some close priest friends gently confronted me about my priorities. Was I more focused on my place in the church than on Christ? Their probing question led me to a quiet conversion, which, in turn, helped me get through my final years, years of great challenge. First came the shocking allegation from a young man, a former seminarian, that I had sexually abused him years earlier. Several months later, he apologized and withdrew the charges. I was able to meet with him privately and forgive him, not long before his death from AIDS. Then came the news from my doctor that I was suffering from cancer. Even after aggressive treatment, my prognosis was poor. But I still had energy for my priorities, prayer, helping other cancer patients, and getting ready for my own death in both large and small ways. Only months before I died, I announced the Common Ground Project, designed to find ways to end the growing polarization within the church in America. It was my final act in a familiar role, that of peacemaker. I died in November 1996 at the age of 68. Who am I? I am Cardinal Joseph L. Bernardine.
This is Bishop Jaime Soto, and this is the Bishop Hour with Bob Dunning.
That's me. Welcome back on this beautiful Wednesday, the 16th of January. Appreciate you all being with us. A reminder, speaking of Bishop Soto, so much happening here. There's always a lot happening here, but next week is the big week. A pro-life pilgrimage and Mass with Bishop Soto. We're all invited to join Bishop Soto Tuesday, the 22nd, the 40th anniversary of the U.S. Supreme Court decision Roe v. Wade. Invited to come walk and pray for a culture of life in our state and nation. The six-mile pilgrimage begins at 7:30 a.m. at Immaculate Conception Church. That's where everybody will gather. Other churches on the pilgrimage will be Sacred Heart, St. Francis of Assisi, Our Lady of Guadalupe, St. Elizabeth Catholic Church, and it will conclude at the cathedral, also with a stop at the Sacramental Life Center. If you can join for all or part of it, that would be great. And then there will be Holy Mass, 12:10 p.m., or just afternoon, 12:10 p.m. at the Cathedral of the Blessed Sacrament with Bishop Soto, and all the priests in the diocese who can make it are invited to concelebrate with Bishop Soto. Also on the 22nd at the Cathedral in the morning for Catholic middle and high school students, teachers, parents, and ministers, 9:30 a.m. check-in, 10 a.m. program, and then the noon Mass with Bishop Soto at the Cathedral, or the evening program at St. Anthony's, which is at 660 Florin Road here in Sacramento. 6 p.m. check-in, 6:30 to 8:30 the program. Some of the speakers, Ashley Baudorf, Community Outreach Coordinator for the Sacramento Life Center. Casey Vroman is just great, the West Coast Regional Coordinator of Students for Life. And Allie Kriegbaum, Development and Outreach Manager for Birth Choice Health Clinics. All of this is sponsored by the Diocese of Sacramento. For more information, you can call Steve Patton at 916-733-0133, or you can email Steve Patton. It's P-A-T-T-O-N, S-Patton at scd.org. Again, it's P-A-T-T-O-N. Well, one of the speakers at Walk for Life West Coast, and everybody's very excited about this, is Lacey Buchanan. Lacey joins us now from her home in Woodbury, Tennessee. Lacey, good day to you. Thanks so much for joining us here on the Bishop's Hour.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Lacey, your video on YouTube, like they like to say, it's gone viral. I think everybody in the world's watched it at least twice. Tell us your story, and tell us what inspired this video. It is so moving.
Well, sure. My husband and I weren't planning on having any children. We'd been married about 2 years, so we still were enjoying married life and things like that, and we found out we were expecting, and it was very thrilling. Nonetheless, we were so excited. And as the pregnancy progressed, we realized that our little boy was going to have some complications, and things got scary there for a while. They would tell us they didn't really know what was going to happen. They didn't know if he was going to live. They didn't know if he was going to be okay, things like that. But we just held on to our faith and our hope, and, you know, we just knew he was going to be okay. And so he was born in February of 2011, he was born with what's called a Tessier cleft lip and palate. It's a very rare form of cleft lip and palate that doesn't happen very often. And Christian's case is one in about 50 in the world. And he was also born blind, which we weren't expecting. But other than that, he was very, very healthy, which the doctors weren't expecting. And so we're very thankful for that. And he has obviously a facial birth defect, and it's very noticeable. It's a physical birth defect that's noticeable. And so after we got home from the hospital, after about a month in the NICU, we started trying to get into a routine and take care of Christian and you know, just the kind of mommy-daddy things that you do. And he, you know, was a very typical child for the most part. And we would be out in public doing things and living our lives, grocery shopping, going to a restaurant for dinner, things like that. Mm-hmm. And everywhere we would go, people would stare, or we could hear people whispering about him, or they would just come right up to us and say, you know, hey, what's wrong with your kid? And so it got to the point where we eventually just started putting a blanket over Christian's car seat because we just got tired of it. We just, you know, we just wanted to eat dinner. We didn't want, you know, the stares and the whispers and things like that. And so finally, when Christian was about 3 months old, he had a surgery to close his cleft lip up, and it was a big, big surgery. And via Facebook, I was keeping people updated on how he was doing and things like that. And during that time, right after we got home from the hospital from that surgery, somebody who was an acquaintance through Facebook sent me a message just to let me know that what kind of a person she thought I was for allowing Christian to live, because she assumed that he was going to have a miserable life because of his birth defects, and that I should have aborted him and not made him suffer. And so that really struck a nerve with me, more so than even the stares and the whispers and all those kinds of things. And, you know, and I thought, something has got to be done. You know, it's not fair for Christian to have to grow up in this kind of an atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't really know what needed to be done, but I knew something. And so I started a little bit of advocacy work as far as writing some columns for my local paper and things like that, just to make people aware of the special needs community and things like that. And one day when Christian was about 13 months old, I happened to see a video on YouTube about another lady named Lizzie Velasquez, who has a very physical birth defect that's very noticeable, and some of the things that she went through because of that. And the thing that really struck a chord with me about her was that people would tell her, do the world a favor and kill yourself. And it was just because of the way she looked. You know, she's a great person, but just because of the way she looked, people felt like it was okay to say that to her.
Wow.
And it broke my heart, because I thought, what if somebody tells Christian that one day? Because it's just not true, and I don't want him to ever think it's true. And so that video inspired me to tell our story, and I did it in kind of the same way that Lizzie Velasquez did hers, with the cards and those kinds of things. And so I really wanted to use it as a tool to, when somebody came up to me and said, hey, what's wrong with your son, I wanted to, you know, write down the address and say, here, go watch this. This will tell you everything you need to know. And hopefully be able to change their mind on, you know, oh, I'm so sorry, or,
sure,
oh, he's so pitiful, those kinds of things. And so I didn't expect it to go viral like it did, but I'm thrilled that it did.
It is so, you know, it is, for people who haven't seen it, it's basically, for want of a better word, flashcards. There's no talking in it, and you just are holding up and telling the story from, you know, when you got married and found out you were pregnant and how excited you were and et cetera. And did you ever consider abortion? Were people pushing you toward abortion?
No, it didn't even occur to me that it had been an option until the lady on Facebook had said you should have aborted him. Uh-huh. I was like, wait a minute, that was even an option?
Uh-huh.
I mean, it just wasn't for me. You know, that was all I could think about was I want my child to live. I want him to be well. I want him to, you know, do what the doctors are saying he can't do. And so abortion just never even crossed my mind. And my doctors knew where I stood as far as my love for that child. And so mm-hmm. I don't think that they would have ever brought it up.
Well, that's just great to hear. And so how old is he?
He is about to be 2 in about a month.
I think I heard his lungs being exercised a minute ago.
Yes, he's a little loud.
No, it was a delight to hear. And tell us about him.
Oh, gosh, he's such a typical little toddler. He's into everything. He's trying to, you know, learn his boundaries and things like that. He's trying to learn to walk. Blind children usually have a little bit of a delay in doing things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So he's trying to learn to walk, which I'm very proud of because they said don't expect it until he's 3 or 4,
mm-hmm.
and he's just about to turn 2, and he will be walking sometime.
Well, the pictures you're showing, I'm looking at the video right now, he's just hopelessly cute. He is really sweet.
Well, thank you. I think so, too.
Yeah. What prognosis is there for a child who's born blind? What special needs? I mean, we can all sort of imagine, but you're facing it. What does Christian face?
You know, for somebody who has sight, it was really, really hard on me at first to think my son has to go through life without seeing.
Mm-hmm.
But watching him grow up and watching him do everything that he does without having sight, I have learned it's not, I don't even consider it a handicap. I consider it a difference. He has mm-hmm. to just do things a little bit different. You know, he's going to have a cane to kind of help him get around a little bit,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
big deal. You know, we have to explain things to him instead of him just look, you know, instead of holding it up and saying, look, we get to tell him.
Sure.
You know, I've taken him outside at night and explained what the sky looks like and what the stars look like. And,
mm-hmm.
and to me, it's just, it's just amazing. And, you know, not that I would have ever, you know, wished it to happen, but some wonderful things have come out of it. You know, he's healthy, and he's going to grow up and live a long, prosperous life, and he's going to be able to do anything that he wants to do, and he's already proven that.
But the picture of him face-to-face with you, kissing you, and then you holding up the sign saying, he is the love of my life, it's just so, so beautiful. And he is indeed a miracle. And his smile, his laugh looks contagious.
Yes, he's got such a little chuckle.
Yeah. So wow, that's just a remarkable story. And are you going to be able to bring Christian to San Francisco?
Yes, he's coming with us. He goes to all of our events, and that's really because nobody wants to see me. They just want to see Christian.
I bet they do.
So, yeah, they would be disappointed if I didn't bring him, and he's a good flyer, so we're really excited.
Very good. Well, we'll look forward to seeing you in San Francisco. I know you're going to inspire the crowd, and thanks for all you have done to make this a culture of life.
Thank you so much.
And give Christian a big hug for us.
Sure.
God bless.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much. That's Lacey Buchanan, who will be at one of the featured speakers at Walk for Life West Coast, January 26th, Saturday at the Civic Center Plaza in the city of St. Francis. A reminder, tonight at St. Rose of Lima on Vine Street in Roseville, the rosary for our good friend David Coit, who passed away last month. And tomorrow, 10 a.m., the funeral mass at St. Rose of Lima in Roseville. That's going to do it for us for today. God bless everyone. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.